Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
Welcome in, everybody. Everything's right in the universe. The planets are back in alignment because Johnny O is back on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. How are you?
Fresh off an Xfinity Watchathon.
I was. Yeah. Were you? Did you? What did you take in this weekend?
I was catching up on Showtime, Shameless episodes, which I love episodes. And
one day I'm just going to have to buy like the box set of Shameless because everyone says it's phenomenal and I've yet to see an episode of it.
I'm not one who thinks it's phenomenal. I like it. I kind of got caught up watching it the first season, and it's sometimes you start watching one and you just sort of feel obligated to carry on with it. You know,
I know what you're talking about. I mean, like, I've gotten this far.
I didn't jump back in where, like, if I didn't have HBO and Curb came back on, I would have to get HBO to have Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb, Tony. Not Curb Your Enthusiasm. Right. Just Curb.
I knew where he was.
I knew where he was, too, but, you know, I guess.
But there's really nothing else. I mean, outside of that, it's not a have to, but it was on yesterday, and I was racing the clock trying to get done by midnight.
You know, I had nothing to do. I got up early yesterday, mowed the lawn front and back, went to the store, ran a few errands, came home. I was Black Sails. Have you seen Black Sails?
I haven't.
Somebody tweeted to me when we were talking about shows, Tony, a while back. And said, you got to check out Black Sails. And I have pieced together. I've watched the first season and a half. They're only two seasons completed. It's about pirates in the early 1700s.
You're kind of a pirate.
I am kind of a rogue like that. And I live in St. Augustine, man. That's a pirate country down there. In fact, they reference St. Augustine in the show in the second season. But so I was watching that, and apparently somebody, not that I would look, but somebody may have put up the first four episodes of Game of Thrones yesterday, bootlegged it up or over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, somebody tweeting about it.
Yeah, that may have happened.
On the torrent.
That may have happened. It may be out there. It may have been viewed millions of times already before HBO's new HBO Go app debuted.
I'm sure they're thrilled.
You think?
Over there. HBO.
Unbelievable. So I figure, you know, maybe I'm up to date on Game of Thrones. I have only watched a couple of Daredevils, Tony, because Netflix is not going away. I know you're 8 episodes deep on Daredevil.
I'm
right?
8 of the 13 deep on Daredevil on Netflix. I also, the binge watch I did this week, with all the news a couple weeks ago surrounding the Jinx, I really wanted to watch it about Robert Durst and the documentary series that HBO had run on it, and my goodness, was it fascinating. But I feel like I'm in, like, a psychopathic weekend. I told you last week you mentioned Going Clear, the documentary on HBO.
Yes.
I didn't watch the documentary. I saw Johnny O at the library on Friday.
Hey,
actually, after I left
guys
the show.
Hang at the library.
Right. So I had reserved Going Clear. So this weekend I started reading Going Clear. I watched The Jinx. I am in psychopaths' heads right now and I can't get out. I have to finish this Going Clear book so I can get away from it a little bit.
Yeah, if you disappear.
Yeah,
we'll probably know why Tony is gone.
And Daredevil
Scientology route.
It's pretty gritty and dark itself.
I'm disappointed in the fact I can't watch it with my son.
Yeah, it's not something you're showing.
I said, Colin, I got to preview this one, buddy.
You said you're two episodes in.
Yeah.
You haven't even.
Oh, I'm sure.
You haven't seen anything.
Two, maybe three. I'm not sure how many I watched. I watched two or three, and then I realized it was watch-a-thon time and. Did some other stuff, you know. What do we have to do other than watch television, right? Apparently, it's a pretty good life, I think we have. Mike Dempsey, John Osher, and Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today. Welcome in on this Monday, inching closer to the NFL draft. A little bit of news out this morning. We just saw Pro Football Talk reporting, according to a league source, which we will endeavor to confirm in the next few minutes. Greg Jennings supposed to be in town today visiting with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, we have obviously talked about him as a good fit, a guy who can play the slot. I'm not big on signing a guy, John, to be a mentor.
No.
If he has that dual capacity, great. You know, use him as a resource. You got a lot of young wide receivers in that meeting room, but that's not the primary reason you bring a guy like that in. I think Greg Jennings still has something at his age. You know, it's like 31 years old. He's not completely over the hill. I think he can still contribute to this football team.
Well, I haven't had a chance to confirm Jennings or not, but for him to be in, it feels like the pace. It was my understanding that if they did bring him in, that it wouldn't be a rush job. It wouldn't be something they necessarily had to do the first week, that it was something that was going to play out sort of like the way they brought Wisniewski in, that, hey, come in, let's see how it works. not a great sense of urgency, but there was a chance they would explore the option. So,
And keep in mind, he's visited the Miami Dolphins,
right.
Okay, and they'd shown interest and left without a contract. Doesn't mean just because he visits here today that he's going to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars, even if there's mutual interest.
And again, I'm with you. I get the whole mentor. I had a question yesterday in the Ozone. If the Jaguars drafted a pass rusher, would they keep Chris Clemens to mentor the young guy? Well, no. If they're going to keep Chris Clemens.
They have
Clemens,
coaches for that.
Right. There's an element of that. A veteran, but usually a veteran leads best by doing what he does, and the young guys see how he does things, and then they can emulate that. It's not a case where they're sitting around saying, hey, you should, the coaching element from a veteran is not why you sign a veteran.
Based on his play last year, had 8 sacks, Chris Clemens. I mean, would you expect him to be here regardless? If they spend the 3rd pick on a guy they think will be a Leo pass rusher, a Fowler or a Beasley, I still think Clemens will be here.
I would, because, again, you got to remember their MO, and if you watch the Seahawks play, it's all about having guys up front and being able to go in waves. So I don't think that would necessarily affect his roster status.
No, I don't either. And so we'll see how that all plays out. We're getting mercifully closer. We all enjoy it, but
coming up fast now.
At a certain point in time, let's get to it. Now we're about 17 days away from round one of the NFL draft.
About that.
Two weeks from Thursday is where we're at as far as that goes. Bud Light draft party right here at Everbank from 6 to 10 that night, introducing, not necessarily introducing in person, obviously, but talking about the first pick in the draft, and you'll get to hear from Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell and all those kind of guys, as well as I'm sure 1010XL will be down here doing some stuff. I'm sure Jaguars.com will be doing some live stuff at the time as well. Ron Jaworski had some interesting comments on the top of the draft. You know, I talked with Pete Prisco over the weekend, had him on my Sirius show, and there's been that bit of question, are the Bucs completely sold on Jameis Winston, right? More from a character standpoint. You know, one of the Glazer sisters, who's part of the ownership group down there, apparently had some questions about how he's going to fit with their team, what kind of message that sends to the corporate community, all these things, which I think are reasonable questions you have to ask. And the reporting said, look, she's not saying, I don't want to draft him, but she's raising the questions about it. So there's been some talk. Maybe the Bucks aren't 100% sold.
Given his background, there was almost no way that a team drafting him was not if you're smart, you're going to have some serious vetting.
Right. You're going to play worst-case scenarios out and all this stuff, and you'd be dumb not to, right? And we saw the lengths the Bucks went to sending a coach to basically bird dog Justin Blackmon at his favorite bar. Well, Jameis Winston's got much more baggage coming into this situation than Justin Blackmon did. So Pete Prisco said, according to the folks he talks with the Bucs, it's a mortal lock that Winston is going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Okay, and even though you raise the question, it's fun to speculate, we've all felt that the great likelihood is Winston went up as a Buccaneer. Ron Jaworski says not so fast. He did an interview with CSN Philly Sports Talk, obviously played quarterback up there in Philadelphia, and there's a lot of interest in Marcus Mariota up in Philadelphia. Here's some quotes from Jaworski. He says, quote, "The latest I'm hearing now from my sources around the league, who are pretty wired in, is that he," talking about Mariota, "is going number one now to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers." He says, "Mariota's stock, remember, it was quiet for a while, and there's a reason for that. There's a lull every year until about 30 days before the draft. Now the coaches get involved. Prior to that, it's the scouts, it's the roadies that are filling out the paperwork. Now the coaches get involved. Now team owners get involved. Now general managers get involved. So you're starting to see, in my opinion, Winston's stock starting to slide a little bit, and Mariota's stock starting to go up a little bit." I think the insinuation there, it throws in owners getting involved. How many owners get involved in the process?
That his sources tell him that he's going number one.
He says, "The latest I'm hearing now from my sources around the league, who are pretty wired in, is that he, Mariota, is going number one now to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers." So he made a declarative statement that, according to his sources, Mariota's going to the Bucs with the first overall pick.
That would surprise me.
It would surprise me as well. I'd probably stun a lot of people.
And some of that is because I know Pete, and I know he usually doesn't make declarative statements on reporting if he's not sure about it.
Understood.
Now, I know Pete, he'll make a million declarative statements on what he believes and be all over the place.
And tell you that's what he's basing it on.
Exactly, but there's a difference, and if Pete's reporting it, it's pretty good.
Oh, I agree. I think Jaworski's kind of out there by himself, but it's interesting that he would put his name on this, right, as strong as he's saying.
Absolutely.
And he has said, I believe.
And there's also a very good chance that I don't doubt that Ron's hearing that. I don't doubt that Pete's hearing that. That's what you get as the draft approaches, is you get guys in different situations who are hearing and believing different things.
Right.
It's just the nature of the beast.
Now, Jaworski is not like a Chris Mortensen. Right, I mean, there's a difference between
there's
these
difference.
Guys. Jaworski's more of an analyst,
but to give him credit, he also talks to people.
No
has
question,
the same way everybody else does. So, again, I don't doubt that Ron is hearing what is saying what Ron's hearing, Pete's hearing what Pete's hearing, and that just shows you the draft lead up. How there are probably people out there who feel passionately both ways and have heard both ways and have heard different things different days, and
that could be it. But I would also tend to think that a reporter like
sure.
a Pete Prisco or a Chris Mortensen or one of those type guys would be better at vetting some of the noise at this time of year, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're an analyst, you may get caught up in a guy's opinion.
Having done that for a long time, I would definitely say it's the case. I'm biased because of my background.
Sure.
I would definitely think that's
all your
the case.
Reporters stick together.
Well, and I worked with Pete for a long time.
No, I understand.
So I know,
look, I'm not using Pete as an example
sure.
in this case, because most people are saying that Winston is going to the Bucks and put it almost a mortal lock on that as well. But
right, and there's not a national controversy right now, Pete Prisco versus Ron Jaworski.
No. It's nothing like that. I'm just saying these. I just happened to talk to Pete over the weekend, and Jaworski came out and made these comments, so it's interesting that you've
sure.
got two respected guys in their own right saying the opposite thing. So with that, we took the opportunity today to use this for our question of the day, because we're not going to get another opportunity probably to ask this question
sure.
other than today, is that as a Jaguar fan, right, each of these quarterbacks come with their own issues, right? Marcus Mariota, I think, has more on-the-field questions about his ability, because the offense wasn't as pro-style, certainly, as it was at Florida State. Can he make all the same NFL-type throws? Whereas Winston has all the off-the-field baggage that Mariota doesn't seem to, and I stress seem to have. We don't know
sure.
what anybody's really like, you know. So as a Jag fan, obviously, you want the worst for the Tennessee Titans. You want the biggest bust factor there. Which of these quarterbacks would you rather see get drafted number 2 overall by the Tennessee Titans? That's our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question today. You know, Tony and I were talking about the character thing before you came in. The whole weekend, the Masters coverage the tournament's great. The course is beautiful. The play is fun. The coverage, the fawning, just makes me gag every single year. And this,
yeah.
you know, what a fine gentleman Jordan Spieth is. Weren't we saying that about Tiger for about a decade, right? What a fine gentleman of the game Tiger Woods is. Not so much anymore.
It is a little over the top.
Wasn't Ray Rice a fine gentleman of the game? In fact, he was the face of an anti-bullying campaign. Nobody knows. I'm not saying Jordan Spieth isn't a fine gentleman. I'm just saying, I don't need that. Give me the
right.
golf, and don't shove that stuff down my throat. So don't pretend to know what lurks inside somebody's heart.
Were you and Tony talking about this before or after you decided on matching shirts?
I know, right?
He
came in. I said,
"This is disturbing."
It was. We out of all the 1010 apparel we have, and we have many, and why not wear it, right? So,
sure.
You know, we have the light blue 1010 XL 92.5 FM Jack Sports Radio shirts on today, and they are matching. And,
it's distracting.
We're kind of like Stepford hosts or something. I don't know what we are, but we are. Do you want one? Is that your point? Would you like one so you'd fit in on Mondays? This will be our Monday uniform.
I'm kind of getting at that.
Yeah, man, we'll text you. You want to go with the blue today? You want to go with the black? Whatever the case may be.
I still feel left out.
All right. If you want to get in today, 641-1010, any aspect of the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars, we'll try to confirm those reports on Greg Jennings being here. Should be pretty easy to do one way or the other coming up here as we come out of break in a moment. So, again, 641-1010, the number if you want to tweet us, at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. Your thoughts on the question of the day. Who's a better bust candidate for the Tennessee Titans to draft? Would you rather see them end up with Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota? I think more people would say Mariota because they fear Winston is a better player, but you got a whole different set of circumstances, so take those into account as well when you reply. We'll get to that and a lot more. Rob Rang has his list of under-the-radar players some of them with some interesting fits perhaps for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take a look at that and a bunch more from around the National Football League. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars today, Mike Dempsey, Johnny O, Fat Tony, here with you at Everbank Field, the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Johnny O has not returned to the studio, Tony. That means he's on the beat right now. He's reporting. He's an intrepid reporter. Sniffing out of lead. Is Greg Jennings in? Is he not in? Just asked members of the Jags PR department and was told, not sure. Was told, basically, right? I mean,
yeah.
Was told, well, if he's not here today, he will visit. At some point, Jags are interested, unless he signs somewhere else first. So as of yet, no confirmation on that league source. But what do we got, Johnny O? Give me a thumbs up, Johnny O, if you've got some Greg Jennings news as you walk back into the JOI studios here of Jaguars Today live from Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. That was a smooth stall right there for him to get back in his seat. What's up? What do you got?
I got nothing.
All right. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I didn't go deep into the film room with the spies or anything like that. I just asked a couple of guys.
You didn't go wander through the back hallway here screaming, Greg!
As we said.
Greg, are you here?
Are you here, Greg?
Are you here yet?
If it's the case, and it wouldn't surprise me if it, I don't know if it's a day or whatever, wouldn't surprise me if it happened, just because it's something you've heard was a possibility.
Sure.
And it makes sense. But, you know, I wouldn't get overly excited one way or the other. I think it'd be fine. I don't think it'd be a franchising.
You tell me not to get overly excited, pal. I will get overly excited about what I want to get.
We're at the point where anything that happens now is probably not going to be a seismic shift.
A franchise changing signing. I get that. But people want to know.
Absolutely.
That's what we do, a show. It's called Jaguars Today.
I understand.
People love their Jaguars. And they should. I think they would like Greg Jennings to be one.
And when we know, they will know.
Exactly. And as I told you a moment ago, I was saying to Tony as you walked by, into the room, that member of the PR department said, you did, you strolled.
Sashayed.
I don't think sashayed. I think it was more of a bit of a strut, maybe. Anyway, he said, if he's not here today, he's probably going to visit because there's definite, you know, there's interest. It's not, which is not a surprise.
Right.
But that's what we want to know. We want to know, is he coming today? PFT says he is.
Yeah. And again, I think what you heard is exactly, you know, at some point there's going to be interest, exploration.
Yes.
And if it works, it works. But it's, again, I don't think there's any race to get anything down here.
You are a brake pumper today. You pumping those brakes.
All right.
Enthusiasm. Nothing wrong with people saying, hey, we got Greg Jennings, a solid guy. But he's got the shades on now.
Yeah, that's
Tony. He's got
blocking you out.
He's got a whole new persona going on over there.
10:25. What was the movie? I'm tired of your act already.
You ever see They Live with Roddy Piper from back in the 80s?
I can't say I did.
Really? There were these special sunglasses.
You're shocked.
It's kind of a cult classic.
It really is.
They wear these sunglasses, and the sunglasses allowed you to see the true face of the aliens who had basically invaded Earth and taken over human form.
I've missed it.
Tony, tell the man.
You're looking at Tony?
That is, yes.
Like, that's going to shift?
He will back me up on this
one. They Live is fun.
Yeah, that's a good flick, right?
Yeah, I mean, fun.
For all the people in the world, you turn to Tony and say, Tony,
that's the
please back me on this alien
movie. Yeah,
because
Tony's a movie guy.
I'm sure you've heard the iconic line, I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum.
And I'm all out of bubble gum.
Yeah, that's They Live.
Okay.
That's where that line came
from,
baby.
How was Rutger Hauer not in that?
Don't know.
Maybe. He showed up in Hobo with a shotgun, though.
All right, let's get to the phone, 641-1010. Some interesting comments, by the way, in a story at NewJersey.com. Again, an Eagles writer polled some NFL scouts anonymously about a number of the top quarterbacks in the draft, and some really, you know, you got to be careful because there are agendas at this time of year. People want different things out. But the amount of quotes from different sources on the quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, and the theme of them may be a little bit eye-opening. Maybe not. Maybe people would expect it. But we'll get to that coming up in just a moment. Let's get Mike up here first today on 1010XL. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing fine. And you?
Good. What's up?
I think you have to take the source, Jaworski. Look at the source. Jaworski's been down on Winston always. So it might be something where he's just, that's what he feels, and he's picking out the things that he feels, you know, is true, but I don't think there's anything to it.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't think Bron Jaworski's lying where he says people are indicating to him that Marcus Mariota is going first. Those people may be wrong. I don't think Jaworski's lying about it. Jaworski has said he would not take Winston first overall. That's fine. But what is him saying, I'm convinced the Bucs are going to take Marcus Mariota number one? It's not going to sway the Bucs.
Right.
Right? I mean, I don't see the benefit of him putting that out. In fact, it can only make him look bad if he's wrong.
Right. If he's saying his sources have told him that, then his sources have told him that. Now, there certainly is an element, you know, you are sometimes shaped by the people you talk to. So you talk to people who sort of agree with you, and you're talking and you're talking, and then you hear, yeah, you know, I'm hearing this, and I, you know, a momentum starts to go in the direction of your conversation, so to speak. So you listen to that and you say, yeah, this is what's going to happen. So you can get hooked into the momentum of your conversation, and then at the end of it say, yeah, this is what I'm hearing, I think this is going this way. But I don't doubt that Ron has heard that Mariota's going number one over all the Bucks. There's nothing unusual about hearing that a month before the draft, except that everybody's been so convinced it's been Winston.
Right, and maybe he's talking to like-minded people who are like, maybe they're talking themselves into it, which may be the case. I just don't think
right. That was a short way of saying my horrible long.
I'm a writer, John, right. And yeah. You know, if you need any help with the editing process, I'm here for
well,
it.
Well, at that point, I did.
I write Facebook posts on occasion. That's about what I write. But you know, again, I don't think Jaworski's just out of the blue saying, "Hey, this is gonna
because he would have no reason
get my
to be.
Name out there." Ooh,
he would have no reason to be. He's not, you know, he's not. He's in a high-profile enough situation where he has no incentive to just throw something out there. If he's hearing it, he's hearing it.
Yes. Speaking of, by the way, total aside here, Jaworski still with ESPN. Lou Holtz out. Apparently Lou Holtz was kind of ready to go. You know, it wasn't like just pushed out the door. He had indicated like last year this may be his final season. Amazing that a guy whose business is communicating thoughts and ideas could hold that position with the speech impediment that he's had as long as he held it, which is absolutely stunning to me. If you go to Deadspin, they did, they linked like 10 different instances of Lou talking nonsense on the air, and truly, like the transcripts of what he was saying, you can't even make out what he's saying some of the time. So anyway.
So you're comparing me to Lou Holtz.
I know, I'm comparing the fact that Jaworski works at ESPN with the fact that Holtz doesn't, and I had to shoehorn that in.
I had a bad 30 seconds, and all of a sudden
no,
we're down.
No, because it's tough to shoehorn Lou Holtz into an NFL/Jaguar show, but I wanted to mention the fact that I'm not going to miss a guy who can't speak very well as an on-air analyst. That's all.
All right.
That's all. This is my personal opinion on that one. Let's go
I'm
back to the
I'm
glad
I triggered that emotion.
You're welcome. Right. Or thank you, as the case may be. Jerome, you're next up here on 1010XL. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Good.
You doing all right?
What's up? We're good. What's up?
I got a question for you, though, because I really don't know. When you're looking at the roster and after the free agency moves that the Jaguars did, I mean, can you really pinpoint a position that they could go for with that third pick overall? I mean, is it outstanding? Like, is it standing out, or is it like really possibly they can go either direction, whether it be the D line or whether it be offense? Because he did say that Bortles is everything through the draft is going to be for Bortles. Now, if Williams goes off the board, and let's say besides the quarterbacks, do you take the second best defensive lineman or defensive player in the draft, or do you take the best offensive player in the draft?
I think those are all fair questions. I think just because you could be the 10th best at one position and be better than the best guy at another position. So it doesn't matter where you rank amongst your position. If you think Dante Fowler or Vic Beasley is a better player, a more better fit, more impactful for your team than Amari Cooper or any of those wide receivers, then it doesn't matter if Leonard Williams is not available to you. I mean, because that's not part of your decision, right?
But, well, I think what he was asking is, are there any glaring needs that you have to draft at number three? That was the gist.
I don't think so.
And I think Dave Caldwell said it a couple times, and I agree with him. They're certainly closer to that being the case, meaning to being able to look at their roster and say, we don't have to draft a wide receiver to line up and have legitimate NFL talent at this position. There's really every position you feel okay about. At the same time, there aren't any positions on this team that I say have locked future Hall of Famers on it, so you can improve everywhere. So I think they're in a good position in that sense that wherever they draft at number three, they don't have to. They can pick their spot, but they have a chance to get an impact guy because you can go in a direction of need but not desperation, maybe is the best way to say it.
Yeah. I mean, like you said,
there's been spots
you laid it out pretty well
in the past couple of years where they have, you know, the number of rookie starters they've had, even beyond the first couple of rounds, has been enormous. To have Ace Sanders starting as a fourth-round wide receiver his first year, too many situations like that. I think the positive is they're away from that situation. The first rounder will start, but there's no have-tos the rest of the draft.
No have-tos, but with the conversations that Dave Caldwell has had about the draft since he got here, and he's mentioned three positions, specifically when you're picking there at the top end of the first round, and he's drafted two of those three, the other being defensive end or pass rush, which is why I think a lot of people are on defensive end for the Jaguars.
That's why I'm on it. Yeah.
At number three, like, how surprised would you be, even if it goes Winston Williams, all right? So the number one defensive end, defensive lineman is off the board. How surprised would you be even at that point if the Jaguars decided to take an Amari Cooper over whatever they feel like is their best option as a pass rusher?
Less surprised than I would have been a couple of months ago. But that's probably just me sitting there looking at mocks, talking myself into it. There's something about Cooper where when I watch Cooper, I'd be very, very surprised if he's not a really good NFL player. I don't know if he's going to be a great, you know, 8-time Pro Bowl receiver, but I feel like he's really safe and maybe safer than the pass rushers, but I still think they go pass rush.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely thing they do as well. But I think the point being, you're not going to take a lesser pass rusher over a... If they take Dante Fowler or Vic Beasley, it's because they think he's the best guy. That's what I think. And because there doesn't seem to be... It's not like you've got one guy that's towering above everybody else. And some people think that is Leonard Williams. But in his scenario, Leonard Williams is off the board.
Right.
Right? So make it easy here. Fowler versus Cooper... there's no clear consensus who's the better pure player,
right.
Pure grade. You might, poll 32 GMs and get 16 on each side of that one.
Sure.
So all that matters is what side Dave Caldwell is ultimately on that. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board Jaguars today. We will come back and take a look at some of the comments from anonymous scouts when it comes to Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Pretty eye-opening. Look, in the end, all that matters are the opinions of the teams that may be selecting them, particularly the Tampa Bay Bucks, next the Tennessee Titans, and any team that may be in a position to trade up and get one of those guys. So it doesn't matter if you're a GM of a team that has no chance to get him or no inclination to draft a quarterback at all, what you think of him. But I thought, nonetheless, pretty interesting stuff. We'll get to that coming up next. Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today continues Wild West Guns and Gold Monday live at Everbank. 2.5 weeks from round one of the NFL draft. Joe Fortunato's got his World of Schedules contest going on over
here. He's a busy guy.
He found a project.
He's got a lot going on.
What does he ever do, really? What does Fortunato do most mornings?
He's cleaning out the supply closet.
He's in his office. No one knows what goes on in there. There's not a whole lot. You know, you guys have, you know, a few radio shows going on that he's producing throughout the course of the week, but he's here early, putting in appearances. Now he comes in here, he puts this giant grid up on the whiteboard here in the studio, and he wants to know when we're playing Buffalo, he says, which is week 7.
Right.
So he's penciling in the bye for week eight. Now he wants all of us to predict the schedule, which, by the way, they say now will be out next week. A lot of people thought it would be out this week. Peter King, I think, in Monday Morning Quarterback may have suggested, or it was PFT is one of them, that suggested it's probably between Tuesday and Thursday of next week is when the official league schedule will come out.
Sounds right, yeah.
So Joe wants us to all predict.
Yeah, it's not soon enough for Joe. Joe says no to next week. He wants it now.
And I need a scoring system, though. I need to know what I get right for. Do I get, for instance, if I say the Jags are on the road versus whomever in week one, and they're on the road but against a different opponent, do
nope.
I get points for that?
No Zero points. Points. No points.
I get nothing? I have nothing. To be exactly right? What if I say they're playing Indy at home and they actually play them on the road? Do I get any points for that?
That's a different situation.
That's why I'm asking you the question here, sir.
I don't know. It's Joe's board. He can divvy up points right. in a winner.
See, we need
he wants.
To look into that.
Sounds like he's got the time to do that, too.
So this will be fascinating. And really, the most fascinating aspect of this is who's going to participate in Joe's yeah. wonderful world of schedules contest.
Oh, he's got what?
How many slots does he have available? How many you got up
he's
there?
Got about 17 now I'm slots. Sorry I even did this. I think you're sorry.
Oh, my goodness. The pain. All right. NewJersey.com, NJ.com, writer up there by the name of Mark Eckel, did a story where he talked to a number of scouts, so speaking on condition of anonymity, because that's what scouts tend to do.
Yeah.
And was asked him about a number of the quarterbacks that are considered the top prospects, among them Garrett Grayson, Colorado State, Brett Hundley out of UCLA, Bryce Petty out of Baylor, and probably with the idea that the Eagles may select a quarterback at some point. A lot of people think they're going to trade up for Mariota or would like to.
Quarterback is in the conversation in Philly.
Certainly is. So here are what the scouts say about Marcus Mariota. And I'm going to presume, although we don't know this for sure, each quote represents a different scout. Maybe more than one quote comes from the same scout.
He said he talked to just four scouts.
Four scouts.
So the four quotes you're getting on the same four guys over and over and over with all these quarterbacks. So you're getting four different scouts' opinions on these five quarterbacks in this article.
Gotcha.
You just don't know who they are.
So here are four different scouts with a quote each on Marcus Mariota. First scout, in a word, great. He's the best I've seen since Andrew Luck. He's everything you want. Now, I don't hear that very often about Marcus Mariota. And keeping in mind, we don't know, he could be talking to a scout with a team that would like to see Mariota go early and push a better player that they like down.
You don't know. The only other caveat we know is that he says all four scouts have won a Super Bowl ring. So they're on teams that have had success at some point. Don't know how long ago it was.
Right.
Any of that. These could be four teams that are drafting in the 20s.
Could be.
Right.
If it's a scout, it's probably scouts would typically not be as passionate about the vested interest of lying to push a guy up or down a board. I mean, GMs are a little more in control of the draft and thinking more draft strategy. And again, I'm not saying scouts are immune to that, but they would probably be more apt to give their honest opinion and their interpretation of it as opposed to a GM who might be playing a few more games.
And you would think, like, for instance, if you had a scout for a team that was totally set on quarterback, they'd maybe speak a little bit more freely as well. All right, so first comment we heard, in a word, great. He's the best I've seen since Andrew Luck. Everything you want. Next scout says he has it all. This is talking about Marcus Mariota. He has it all. If we had the first pick, he'd be ours, but we don't. Okay.
So he does not work for Tampa.
He, according to
write that
this,
down, Tony.
He does not work for. There's a logic problem.
Depends on who you ask.
We can scratch Tampa out in the list. The next scout says the only knock we have on him is he's a thrower, not a passer, but he'll work on that. He'll be real good. So a little more muted and not over the top. And then the final one says, what I like best about him is he's a hard worker. He'll put in the time. That's more important than people realize. Okay, that's solid. So two of them absolutely glowing. One guy said first pick. The other guy said best since Andrew Luck, which would indicate first pick material as well. Here's Jameis Winston, same four scouts. Number one, the turnovers bother me as much as the off-the-field stuff. Okay, that's the first comment. Okay, fair. Number two, if you can get by the off-the-field stuff and we can't, he's really good. So he's saying, love him as a player, or really like him as a player. They said they would take him number one. If we had the first pick, he'd be ours. I'm assuming they're going in order with these same guys. And if that's the case, he seems to indicate his team would have taken Winston off the board for character concerns. Couldn't risk the first pick on him. So maybe that factors into Mariota's ranking.
And you can see why a GM or a team would say that. If you were picking a guy to lead your franchise, you can see why, if you're a team that feels that way, he would fall into that category because he does make you nervous.
Absolutely.
I would still, if I was running a team that had the first pick, I would be hard-pressed not to take him because you're running a risk with anybody, and the kid is really, really talented.
If you're the Bucs and you feel the way that guy does and you don't love Mariota, I feel like a team like the Jets sitting there at six, I told you this earlier, would give their whole draft, probably a pick next year, and maybe throw in like a Geno Smith on top of that. Not that that's, you know, Geno Smith is the thing that's great, but it's a young piece, and it gives you another option if you're the Bucs at quarterback. You get the sixth pick in the draft, the rest of the draft, and maybe a first rounder next year. I really think the Jets would do a deal like that.
If you're the Bucs, though, before you pick up that phone, you say to yourself, how many chances do you get a guy?
Understood. And that's where the debate lies, right?
That internal stomach-turning dilemma that whoever's making that call has got to make, and it's tough.
Third quote on Jameis Winston. If he doesn't mature, he's not going to be playing in this league. He has the talent to play, but he needs to grow up in a hurry. Now, I don't know if this scout is saying that based on, you know, his team talking to Winston, or he's just saying, look at all these reports out there. Because everyone agrees, he does need to mature off the field in a hurry, right?
Yes.
So, you know, don't want to read too much in anyone. And then the final one, it's not like we would be in line to take him anyway, but we don't go near guys like him. There's just too much there. Now, if they're speaking truthfully on all this, the first guys with Mariota focus mostly.
Sometimes, and let me couch this by saying this. It's that a lot of times, I have no idea who said that quote, obviously.
Sure.
But sometimes a conversation like that is, does that, if the team actually had the pick, it's easy to say you wouldn't go near it.
Good point.
But if a team actually had the pick, and you would owe it to yourself to at least dig in and do the due diligence to look. So this scout may not know the beyond the headlines details of what's going on with Winston, if you follow me.
True. And like you're saying, if it's one thing, if you've got Aaron Rodgers and you're a team that's successful typically year in, year out, and you're like, we'd never touch a guy like that. Well, you can't envision yourself being in position to get that guy.
Now, I'm not saying there aren't teams. There's 32 teams.
Sure.
If all 32 of those teams were in position to have a number one pick, obviously couldn't. There are probably 5, 6, 7 teams that would indeed say, nope, can't take that chance. But my guess is you're talking quarterback, you're talking number one pick in the draft, you're talking knowing that it's easier to rid yourself of an error now than it was 5 years ago. You would think that there would be a lot of due diligence before you just blindly said, well, I'm worried about him, I'm taking him off the board.
Yeah, I find it interesting.
It's a tough
thing
to take him off the board.
You've got scouts, and I'm sure part of the scouting report is the makeup of the guy, right? But that to me seems more of a question for a GM, right, and a front office, and the rest.
It absolutely is, because those are the decisions. Most scouts, you know, are very good at sitting in the stands watching, okay, checking off the boxes,
right,
A, B, C, D.
Put blinders on, just tell me what he does on the field.
And filing the reports. And it's not easy, but, you know, that's what they do. The difference between good GMs and average ones are the ones who can take that information and make the decision. What we're talking about, is this the right move big picture? And this is a big picture decision that is absolutely in the hands of the GM and the people that he trusts.
Which makes it even more compelling to me, that when you're asked about these scouts, 3 out of 4 of them, the first thing they go to is, not happening with the maturity or too, huge red flag. That's the first thing they point. The first one said, turnovers bother me as much as the off-the-field stuff. And that's the scouting. That's more of what I would expect them to be commenting on than anything else.
Yeah.
And so it just shows you how prevalent that conversation is.
Any
with
team that actually had that first pick, it's easy to say if you're picking 15th, we wouldn't touch them. If you've really got that pick, and you really need a quarterback, which most teams that have that top pick do, you know, then I think it's, you can say you take him off the board, but you also want to take a serious look before you do, because guys with his talent don't come along every year.
Understood. And that's why we ask you today, in part, what you would rather see the Tennessee Titans end up with. Obviously, we assume, as Jaguar fans, the majority of the audience, you're going to want to see Tennessee get the worst possible end of the deal. So what would that be to you? Would you rather see them end up with Winston or Mariota? Do those scouts' comments cause you to think a little bit more? Or are you, because a lot of people say, you know what, NFL, man, if they could play, they're not going to care. Well, this shows you that this is an internal conversation that's being waged and probably is raging throughout the National Football League, because, again, these
it
are...
It matters at that position.
Yes, and these are scouts that we just said focus more on what they do on the field, yet the first thing they're leaping to is, boy, is he a risky player to bring into our organization.
Because it matters at every position, but, again, if a guy's starting a quarterback for you, he is speaking for your franchise multiple times a week, every week. What he does in the media matters. How he leads matters. It all matters.
All right, here we go. This state in football history coming up, the Honda Drive around the NFL as well. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010 is the way to do it. Halftime, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, 1970, April 13th, happy birthday, former Jaguar linebacker Eddie Robinson. Eddie Robinson played a long time in the National Football League, spent his first 4 years with the Houston Oilers. And then, John, you probably remember him, certainly, 96-97, Eddie Robinson started 28 out of a possible 32 games here in Jacksonville. You know, it was a solid linebacker. Wasn't a superstar by any stretch of the imagination. Would go on to play for the Titans and the Bills for five more years after he left here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he was a guy. He was in that McCardle, Searcy free agent class that wound up being a big deal in the 96 playoff run, 97
sure.
season. You know, certainly not a free agent who contributed on the level of those two guys, but was part of a lot of veterans they brought in to get themselves to a playoff veteran-type team very quickly.
He's just a solid player, man. The guy started 163 games in his 11-year career. That's a bunch.
Really, you know? really good guy, too.
23 sacks in his career as well, so happy birthday, Eddie Robinson. Also,
how old is Eddie?
Eddie was born in 1970, so that makes him 45.
All right. Good math. Nice job.
There you go. Thank you very much. It's a nice zero and a five. I could do
save you with that multiples of five.
Yes, that was very well done by me. And also, happy birthday, Josh Gordon. What you doing today? Hope you're not having a few drinks.
Hopefully nothing.
To celebrate your birthday. Josh Gordon, suspended wide receiver of the Cleveland Browns, born on this day in
Cheetos
1991.
Playing a video game.
I suppose, you know, so that's what you got. 161 catches for 2,754 yards, 14 touchdowns. Many of that coming in his second year breakout season, and who knows if we'll ever see Josh Gordon grace a football gridiron in the NFL again. The state football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, maybe you've heard about the custom fit Stop Snoring Mouth Guard by SomniMed. Check out Dr. McCall. Call him at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services that is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Johnny Manziel has been released from his rehab facility. Manziel went into rehab on January 28th. He's expected to report for offseason workouts with the Cleveland Browns starting on April 20th. The Browns signed quarterback Josh McCown and are reportedly one of the teams that might be interested in moving up in the draft to select either Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota, despite having spent a first-round pick just last year on Johnny Manziel. The Miami Dolphins have signed center Mike Pouncey to a five-year contract extension worth $52 million. David Clymer of the Tennessean and Nashville, for one, doesn't buy any of the Titans' talk about selecting quarterback or number two at the end of the month. Clymer said in an article this weekend that the Titans view Zach Mettenberger as a, quote, poor man's Tom Brady, end quote, and that he fully expects him to be the week one starter for Tennessee in September. Troy Polamalu announced his retirement on Friday, which led immediately to the Hall of Fame discussion for Troy and some of the game's other top safeties of this era. Peter King weighed in on those safeties via Twitter this weekend, ranking them as such. From 3-1, number 3, Brian Dawkins. 2, Ed Reed.
Stop now.
Troy Polamalu as the best safety
stop
of this era.
Stop now. Opinions on this subject. Number 1,719, Peter King. Stop it. Troy Polamalu is not a better player than Ed Reed. Please, not.
I want to go back to find, like, when Ed Reed was stepping away. And he probably did something similar with that, you know, talking to players who played against Ed Reed
right.
and the game planning against him, how he felt about the safeties in the game. It's like, it's whatever is most recent is the thing that we're most on. Troy Polamalu is a really good player. I don't think he's better than Ed Reed.
Tony, it's like it's sports broadcasting in general. I know that's not a broadcast, that's a tweet, but sports reporting in some ways is that way. You know, you see a guy, John, you see a basketball game, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one can
greatest ever.
Say,
greatest ever, love him.
Right. No one can just say he's got a great crossover. He has the best crossover in the game. Or he has, it's every player, every game has a player that is the best at something in their league or conference or whatever. And that's not always the case. It doesn't have to be the case.
I mean, this weekend we watched the Augusta, the Masters, and Tiger Woods got it to 7-under, and everyone's like, oh, he's answered all the questions that he had to answer. What? He's not even at contention.
Like, right.
I mean, it's good. He made the cut.
He played better. He's on the first page of the leaderboard on Sunday.
Outplayed a lot of people's expectations. I get that. But that Tiger Woods being 7-under at some point at Augusta is not him being back.
Right. But by the way, I don't know if he is playing the players. I heard the boys on the drill talk about this morning. Did you see him in his post-round interview? He said it's going to be a while before he plays. I did not get the impression. I got the impression that, look, it's Augusta. I'm a horse for the course, and it's Augusta. It's a major championship. I've won it 4 times. I have only so many opportunities to win majors going forward. This was one of them. Wasn't going to pass it up. You're not going to see me for a while. You'll see him at the U.S. Open. Before then, I think it's anybody's guess when we're going to see him again. Maybe he plays
the
players.
Driver.
He's never loved the players. Even though he's won it, he's never loved that course. So
if he's going to go play the U.S. Open with the way they grow that rough up, he better figure out his driver. He's dead in the water.
Missed 13, what, first 13?
Yeah.
Didn't hit a fairway. Yeah. First 13 holes yesterday.
That's the Duval Doom update.
At least. Yeah. That's a job. We call that the Josh Scobie update on Friday. That's
Monday.
How we tied it into Jaguars today.
I got you.
Scobie, I believe, was at the Masters. We were told he was.
Oh,
we
good
went
for
with
him.
It either way. We didn't care. We don't fact check these things.
That's fine.
John. Whatever happens, happens.
I get it.
Yeah.
You're a radio guy.
That's how we are. We're radio guys. We're infotainment is what we are. Number of mock drafts out on CBSSports.com, NFLDraftScout.com. Will Brinson updating his, had the Jacksonville Jaguars selecting Dante Fowler. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm looking at Rob Rang's here. Rob Rang, 2-round mocks for Rob Rang and Dane Brugler got posted yesterday. Rang had Dante Fowler going to the Jags. He had Winston first, Leonard Williams second. Apparently the greatest quarterback since Andrew Luck is going to slide down to number 6, but Dante Fowler going to the Jags with number 3, and then coming back in round 2, he had the Jacksonville Jaguars taking A.J. Can. Have you heard of A.J. Can?
Sure they can.
Sure, why not?
Sure.
Yes, we can. A.J. Can is an offensive lineman out of South Carolina. And he says whether at guard or center would provide some physicality and consistency inside for what's been one of the league's weaker offensive lines. The idea that, look, I think until they signed Parnell,
sure,
a trade-back scenario made sense. Maybe Brandon Scherff could be on the board, right? What about at 36? Could you see them taking a versatile interior lineman at 36?
Could. It would surprise me if there was a running back there that they liked.
Not super likely, you're thinking.
Well, again, I think it's more likely that they don't use the 3 and the 37. And I think it'll be some sort of a trade somewhere to move around a little bit. But that wouldn't surprise me. I think they would come back in the 3rd there and take a running back under that scenario.
In the 3rd?
Yeah.
Yes.
And at some point, I expect a running back to go in the top 3. The interesting mock to me, I saw Josh Norris, Roto-World, who does a really good job for them, had a scenario. I think he was trading back, or the Jaguars trading back to Cleveland to get their 12 and 19, you know, to get that package of picks. And he had one of the picks was Todd Gurley. And the other one was...
We talked about that last time. That's my dream scenario.
This, I'm looking at it right now. It is the dream...
Bud Dupree and Todd Gurley. Then.
No, it's Vic Beasley.
Oh, wow.
Right. At 12. And then coming back with Todd Gurley at 19 in that the latest from Josh Norris.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I know. How many Jaguars fans would just be...
Yes, please.
Ah, give me that right now.
A lot of familiar names in that one.
Yeah. Who is... Somebody... I've seen a couple of mocks now. Maybe it's Brugler. And we'll look at his in a second here. This had Gurley going to Miami for a couple weeks now. Will Brinson of CBS had Vic Beasley in his latest update going to the Jags with the third pick. So lining up with what you're talking about,
was
Tony.
Was it quarterback-quarterback?
Dream scenario. It was quarterback-quarterback for him at the top. And then Dane Brugler, I believe I've got his right here. He had Winston, Leonard Williams. And he had the Jags taking Dante Fowler in that scenario there. And again, Mariota lasting until the sixth pick. He also did a two-round mock draft, and he had the Jags taking Jay Ajayi out of Boise State at 36, which is possible.
I'll tell you what's really fascinating is you've got a draft where there's two quarterbacks who are clearly separated themselves from the other quarterbacks. They're not having a conversation about anybody else except for these two guys. And yet, we're getting down to where we're close to the draft now, 17 days out, as you said. And there's still, I don't have a clue what the Titans are going to do. There's no consensus about that second. I think most people assume that Winston's going to be in that top two, but there's no consensus on whether Mariota will be number two, on whether he'll be number six, on whether he'll slide. I mean, usually by now you would have seen those two guys sort of take their spot where you know exactly what's happening at the top, and it's still wide open.
The thing is, you can't know how anybody feels about Leonard Williams, right? We hear some of the pundits for a couple months been saying Leonard Williams clearly the best player in the draft. As it gets closer...
Now you're hearing that.
I don't know if he makes an impact on third down. I don't know if he does, right? So, but if the reports we read, the quotes we read from the scouts, right, can't assume that's the only people that could feel that way about Mariota. If there is some feeling like that out there, that this guy is a lot better than some people perceive him to be, then if the Titans don't take him, I still think he's going second. Unless they absolutely love Leonard Williams and feel like he's a transformational player that they just can't pass on, I think, again, a team like the Jets is going to give them the kind of offer to ensure that they get him, because they're not going to take a chance that somebody else doesn't jump up in front of him and grab that guy.
Yeah, I maybe it's my spread offense.
I'm not saying you have to feel that way. I'm saying we heard what the scouts said.
I have a tough time seeing it happen.
You have a tough time seeing a trade up for Mariota happen.
I do.
Wow, I don't. Absolutely don't. So you're wrong.
Sure.
We'll
That's
come
fine.
Back. Rob Rank's Diamonds in the Rough. Some positions we'll take a look at that the Jags may be interested in fortifying, and some guys that may be an interesting fit for them for various reasons. We'll take a look at some of those coming up, as well as take your calls if you're so inclined at 641-1010. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, tweet from Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, said he was told Greg Jennings is in just for a visit for now, so he says it's unlikely that it'll be a fly-in and sign-on-the-same-day deal. But I take it that means he is visiting today, as we reported earlier, as PFP reported earlier, according to league sources. Seemed quite odd. Nobody was quite sure Greg Jennings is in the building or not, or planning to be in the building or not, but apparently that is the case. So, but Ryan doesn't expect it to be a more of a due diligence kind of thing, not necessarily come in, get the deal done. So don't read it one way or the other, I guess. Look, I mean, he's visited some other place. Certainly I know he's been in Miami. I don't know if he's
Carolina.
I thought he had. All right, so two other places where he's visited, come away without a deal. You know, just kicking the tires, so to speak. And it could be one of those situations, Tony. They go into the draft and they say, all right, you know, slot receiver is on our mind at a certain range with certain players in those ranges. And if we come out of the draft with a guy like Philip Dorsett, and we say, oh, we don't want to look at Greg Jennings. If we go different directions and the value is at other positions, maybe we come out of the draft and say, okay, now let's use this as kind of a fallback. We know where we stand with Greg Jennings. We know what he's looking for. you know, we know what we value him at, and it could be one of those situations.
Yeah, and you would think if they don't, if a player such as Jennings doesn't get signed this week, you would think it would probably be post-draft because of that same situation you just said. Then you wait and make sure, then your value goes up a little bit if a team says, okay, we didn't take care of this need in the draft, now we need this guy for a year or two.
All right, let's get to the phone, 641-1010. I want to get to some of Rob Rang's diamonds in the rough type players, diamond in the rough type players, whatever the case may be. Satchel is up next this morning on Jaguars Today. Hi, Satchel. How are you?
How you doing, Mike? I can't help but laugh, and I got to get this off my chest after months and months of talk, whether it's radio or TV, and this label of off-the-field issues that's being tagged Jameis Winston, it's literally knocking my head off because – I look at it from this aspect. Where's the DUI charges? Where's the drug charges? Your typical charges you hear on Pac-Man Joneses of the world and Josh Gordons of the world are not tied to Jameis Winston the same way, yet you hear that label tagged to Jameis Winston immediately, whether it's on TV or radio, so much. And I just want to take your thoughts off the air about why is he labeled an off-the-field issue the first time they bring up his name. Thanks, man.
Sure. I think it's obvious for a lot of people. They feel like he should have been charged with some kind of sexual assault and wasn't. I'm not necessarily in that camp, but I understand where they're coming from. Hey, look, Pac-Man Jones plays cornerback, okay? A lot of you can do a lot of things at a lot of positions. You can't be the face of the franchise and have a laundry list of indiscretions. And I'm not saying any one of them in and of itself. It's taking too much Coke from the Burger King fountain. Okay, I'm probably guilty of that one. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what happened with
the point where police get called.
Right, the BB gun issue. I'm not quite really sure what happened in that either. But the getting up in the cafeteria, screaming an obscenity. You know, you could say kids will be kids. Well, you don't want your quarterback being that guy. I mean, again, you do that at another position, people aren't going to focus in on it nearly as much. But there's a feeling among some, I'm not going to characterize it as widespread, but probably is to some degree, that Jameis Winston got away with a sexual assault because Florida State dragged their feet and threw roadblocks up in the way with complicity from the Tallahassee Police Department and all this stuff. Now, there are people on the opposite side that say, wait a minute, look at the actual evidence, look at this, the accuser changing her story multiple times, and this was vetted, and ultimately, no charges came out of it. So you can go either way on that. But to say that you don't know where it's coming from, the off-the-field stuff, I mean, I think you've had your head in the sand, if that's the case.
Well, and again, I don't know what happened in the incident you're talking about. And most people in the public don't.
The alleged assault.
Correct. But I do know that if this is not a media creation of it being Jameis Winston off-field issues. NFL people are talking about it. Scouts talk about it. GMs talk about it. If it wasn't an issue within league circles, then the media would have stopped talking about it, meaning the NFL media.
The NFL media may have. The media's been rolling with it to an absurd degree.
But the people who cover the league and who discuss draft and who try to figure these things out would not be making it an issue if they weren't hearing that it was an issue from the teams. Makes sense?
Agreed. So, and maybe Satchel's point is, where are these teams getting that impression from? Well,
that's the impression they have.
That's the impression they have.
Because
right?
of what happened when he was in college.
Right. So,
and it's not like he wasn't in the spot. Like, whatever happened with the sexual allegations happened, right? But it's all the other stuff. The coke thing, the shooting out the windows at the dorm with the BB guns.
Was that what it was, shooting out windows?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was before he was the starting quarterback for Florida State. And then he became the starting quarterback for Florida State, and after winning a Heisman Trophy and every eye in the nation is on him, he goes and steals crab legs.
I forgot the crab.
For no apparent
totally
reason,
forgot that
he
one,
goes
right?
and
that's
steals
that,
crab
right.
legs.
So that,
and
that's
then,
legit.
While he's in the middle of an undefeated season with his team, he's coming off a Heisman Trophy and a national championship. He stands up on a table in the middle of the campus and yells what he yells. That's why NFL teams are like, what is going on with this guy? He has everything in front of him and every reason right. not to just be dumb. And instead, he keeps doing these childish things.
Right. And
that's the point right there.
You take the example of Randy Gregory, right? It's, I don't think they're concerned about him smoking pot. They're concerned about him smoking pot and getting caught at the combine.
Right.
Right? It's like, what are you thinking? Jameis, you're already in the spotlight. You're already under all the scrutiny. What are you thinking with this right. next thing and the next thing? And even though they're little things to a lot of people, the theft is not, that's theft. Okay. I don't care. I don't buy the, I forgot the butter or whatever the, what was going on with all that. What about the butter?
What about right? the butter?
All right. But, so be it. If you don't understand why, maybe you think to you these are not that important, but to say you don't understand why there are questions about him off the field, I think is...
When you're choosing whether or not to make the guy the face of your franchise and the foundation point of your franchise, then you're going to look and say exactly what Tony just said. You know, can we trust you to not do these things once you're here, and can we trust you to be mature and to handle this role once you're here? That's a legitimate question that you can certainly understand why teams ask it. It would be almost insane for them not to ask it.
All right, 641-1010. Thank you for the call, Satchel. We don't have to agree on the viewpoint. Appreciate your opinion. Nonetheless, Jimmy, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just had a couple of questions about the draft and the trading, of the issue of the trading. In your opinion, would you guys rather have Mariota and, say, Williams fall to the Jaguars, or would you rather have Williams and Fowler fall to the Jaguars for a trading, as far as trading is concerned? Which of the two you guys, which of the two options do you guys like to see happen? Because the trade value is going to be there for the guys. And also, I don't know how Peter King and Reed vote for Polamalu. I don't even know if he was better than Brian Dawkins. I mean, really, they might even be the same guy. So I'll just take it off the air.
Right. We love Brian. Brian's a Jacksonville guy. And, you know, but Ed Reed is a fathom beyond Polamalu me. But let's not get too caught up in that. That was almost our question of the day, Tony.
A fathom, but he was
they do different things.
Right.
Like Polamalu, like even if you're reading about what Polamalu did, I think there is something to the fact that every time you played against Pittsburgh while Polamalu was there, when you came to the line of scrimmage, it's where's 43? Because they line it up at so many different places, and he did play with this crazy instinct where he would be out of position but make plays.
But how many times did he give up plays because he was out of position?
No, Ed Reed was an eraser.
Ed Reed was...
Look, I'd have Ed Reed number one, too. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer to me.
Anyway, again, let's not get too far down that road. Who do you want to see fall to three? We almost made that the question today, but we felt like we discussed it a little bit. To me, I'm presuming there'd be a bigger trade market for a quarterback.
Well, you always, if you're trying to trade near the top of the draft, you want a quarterback to be involved, because then all of a sudden you might get quarterback hunger involved. You might get a couple of teams. There is more of an option of a bidding war, and he'd be able to drive the price up with a quarterback. So clearly in that scenario, if you're thinking that you can trade out of that spot on draft night, then you would rather see Mariota be involved in the equation.
We presume people around the league grade Leonard Williams better than Dante Fowler. We don't know that. There are probably teams that say, you know what, Dante Fowler's a better player. And maybe there are teams that legitimately say, does Leonard Williams impact the game on third down as much as you need to? Is he going to give you enough pass rush or enough push, and is that worth taking that guy over a Dante Fowler? So I'd like to see Fowler go second and have Williams and Mariota be there, and that's really where you're going to get the most trade value, but that's presuming that teams are thinking like the public consensus.
Well, and we always talk about with the draft and trades and these kind of things, or with somebody being overdrafted, it only takes one team has to fall in love with a player, a prospect, whatever. And that's the same with trade scenarios. It's one team has to fall in love with a player or person, and the odds of that happening with a quarterback
correct.
Just are so much greater than they are with the other positions in the draft, unless you thought you were getting J.J. Watt from Leonard Williams, which people compare him to that. It's unfair to me, and he doesn't look like that type of player. If you potentially have a quarterback
but even before
that,
he was drafted, they weren't talking about J.J. Watt like J.J. Watt.
No,
correct.
No. And we have anonymous quotes today from scouts. In a word, great. He's the best I've seen since Andrew Luck. He's everything you want. Quote, he has it all. If we had the first pick, he'd be ours, but we don't. Those are quotes about Marcus Mariota. So are there chances that there are more than one team that are not picking one or two that really like Marcus, it sounds like there is a chance, a good chance of that happening. I'm curious to see as these articles continue what kind of quotes you get about Leonard Williams.
Well, I don't think you're going to see Cleveland give you 12 and 19 and maybe more to come up for Leonard Williams.
No.
All right. So, I mean, that
no.
And that's not the only trade scenario that's out there, but could you envision a team giving up multiple first-round picks to come up for a defensive lineman this year? I don't think so, because there are good impact defensive linemen that you're going to get throughout. Sitting at 12, you're probably going to get a pretty good defensive lineman if you are so inclined, if you're the Cleveland Browns. A couple of quick guys that stood out to me in this Diamonds in the Rough article by Rob Rang, just at positions where the Jags may be drafting at some point. You never know with running backs, right? I mean, we say, oh, maybe they'll go in the third. Maybe they'll go in the fifth.
Sure.
You really don't know, because you can find good players later in the draft. But it stood out to me that John Crockett goes 6 foot, 217, runs a 4.56, and happens to have gone to North Dakota State.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, the alma mater, not that that's going to make the Jags draft him, but I thought that was interesting. Nonetheless, the top guy he listed in his under-the-radar, diamond-in-the-rough type guys was David Johnson, the Northern Iowa running back, and a number of others were mentioned in there as well. I've talked to a lot of guys doing the show on Sirius, doing a lot of draft analysts that love Trey McBride, the wide receiver out of William & Mary, okay? And if Gene Smith had taken him, we would have been like, William & Mary. But trust me that there's a buzz about this guy out there. He's the top guy that he lists. Now, I don't know if he profiles as a slot guy whatsoever. 6 foot, 210, runs a 4.41. They say he doesn't necessarily play as explosively as that time would indicate. But I just heard that name enough from people. They said this is really a guy to watch. And Rang lists him as a potential top 100 prospect, which is pretty interesting. Another guy that I've seen a little bit about was at the Senior Bowl, Ali Marpet out of Hobart.
Okay, right.
Offensive lineman who played left tackle, switched to guard at the Senior Bowl, and really blew people away with his transition to that. There's thought that he could even ultimately play center, and he's got great versatility. Ran a sub 4.5 40, I believe, is the case. Yeah, broke the 5 seconds at 6.4 3.07.
Okay. You said sub 4.5.
I'm sorry, sub five. Sub five. My bad. Sub five. Sub 5.40. Sub 5 second 40. So just a name that I've seen out there. In fact, I saw him mock to the Jags, and somebody did a 7-round mock at some site. I saw him mock to the Jags in like round number 3. Defensive ends that, let me see if I can find where my defensive ends are here, because there are a couple of interesting sounding players here. Here we go. Defensive ends. Lyndon Trail out of Norfolk State. Went to Florida and transferred from Florida. Originally committed to the Gators. 6'7", 269. Runs a 4.91 at that size. Pretty good. And they say, you know, his background isn't as intriguing, you know, his production as the upside that he showed at the Senior Bowl. Again, another guy who was on display there. And, you know, look, the Jags aren't going to draft all household names. You wouldn't expect, right? At some point, they're probably going to pull a guy that you would consider a diamond in the rough type or an under the radar. How many people knew Luke Bawanko, really?
Right.
You know, going, and he went to a Power 5 conference school. So, you know, don't be surprised. Take a look at the article. We don't have really time to get into all the details of it. And maybe there are more than one future Jaguar on that list. If you go to CBSSports.com, you can find that. All right. We will come back here and take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today. Who got the most support from a Jaguar perspective? Which quarterback would you like to see the Titans end up with if they had to take one? Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, and this prompted by Ron Jaworski today, indicating he thinks that Mariota goes number one overall now to the Bucs, which is the vast minority opinion. But nonetheless, we asked your opinion. Which, from a Jaguar perspective, would you rather see in the division, Winston or Mariota, for the next however many years? Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, this one in on the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line. Kudos to YouTube for calming me down, chilling me out. There's a good group on this show, working well together. Dempsey must be on Prozac and doing well.
You are doing well.
I don't know. I'm not on Prozac, though. Maybe it's your calming influence, Johnny O.
Many people speak of that.
I think I've just chilled out a lot in general. Occasionally it's good for me. A few days a year, Tony, you know, it's I enjoy going off the rails. But I don't do it as much anymore.
But if you're going to go off the rails, you need to do it on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday.
It's not a bad day to do it. I just try to, you know, I feel like it's unfair to you guys. You guys are only in one day a week. You don't need to see me have one of my, you know, apoplectic rants going on.
No, but at some point you got to rant.
Sometimes you do. You know, I usually put that on Tony when it's only me in here. He's the one who has to carry that burden along with me. All right, and all of you out there in Radio Land. Today we asked you, who would you rather see the Titans get? Now, we get several responses. I don't care who they get. We ain't afraid. Okay, it's not a point of being afraid. Would you rather see the Colts of Andrew Luck or Dan Orlovsky? I don't care. It doesn't matter. Really?
Orlovsky.
Really? I'd rather have them have Orlovsky too, Tony. Does that make me afraid? Okay, I want the rivals to have the worst players possible. So from that standpoint, who do you think is most likely to bust? Mariota or Winston? That's really what the question is, but putting it in the frame of reference for who do you want your rival to have to suffer through wasting the second pick on, potentially. And when we ask this, but maybe it's going to be just a landslide for Jameis Winston, didn't really seem to turn out that way.
Not really. From Tony Agolini, we got Mariota. From Paolo, Winston, I would love to go against that interception machine. From Eric, neither if I could, but Mariota would be my choice. I think we could stop him more consistently. From Stevie at Irish Jaguar, it's a push. Bust potential for both of them is huge for very different reasons. Javi says, Mariota, rather face Russell Wilson 2.0 than whatever Winston becomes. 72-26. That's Russell Wilson's interception to touchdown ratio in his first 3 years.
Right. I don't want to face Russell Wilson.
From Brian, would rather Winston, more chances of him going down in flames than Mariota. From David, Winston, his bad decision-making will continue at the next level. From Cam, Winston, because Mariota's speed is dangerous. Jameis throws better, but Mariota can run the option. And from Nick, Mariota, it would take longer for him to win than Winston.
Well, I would hope Tennessee wants to run the option.
Bring it on!
Let's just, hey, you know what? Full wishbone, all right? Let's go full wishbone and let him run it. I would think potentially, because Chip Kelly's worked with him, he can be dangerous in some more unique ways, but they're not running the option up in Philly either, for that matter. You know, pace of play, I think he would fit in. He's used to going at a high rate, which is what they do at Oregon, which is what they're trying to do as much as they can in Philadelphia with Chip Kelly's squad there. And, you know, the basic offense is the same as much as possible. Spread it out, get the ball in the hands of the playmakers, play fast, play at a high tempo. But it's not like, you know, if you've got that running ability, it's not like Chip Kelly was asking Nick Foles to run a whole lot of that. And you could say, well, he didn't have the right guy to do it. And maybe he would run a little bit, you know, look, the Jags ran some read option with Blake, right? Four times a game, three times a game, whatever. So I'm not saying they wouldn't mix it in at all, but it's not going to be, I don't think we're going to see it like we necessarily saw RG3 in his first season with the Washington Redskins, where that really was the offense in Washington for a season.
If you're going to do it, you better do it fast. You better be good quick, because the quarterback's not going to make it very long.
It seems to be the case, right? In this league, anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing to run away from those guys, and you probably run away. Look, Mariota's either fast or he's not fast. He's going to run away from some guys in the NFL, too. But
a lot more of them running after.
There are a lot more of them that can equal that speed and maybe even top that
speed. And
they're
big and strong.
They are big and strong, John, I hear, in the National Football League. It seems like Greg Jennings is in for a visit today. You know, don't want to, as you said, one way or the other, it's not going to, you know, be the landmark signing of all time for the franchise, but a solid guy that's been talked about. And I think, again, following up on Ryan O'Halloran's tweet earlier, he has the indication that this is more of a due diligence kind of thing. I do think, you know, it makes a lot of sense. If you come out of the draft with the right guy, maybe you say, we don't need that guy. Boy, it is interesting to look at that wide receiver depth chart, though, potentially, right? Because you're going to have 3 second-year guys, which right now are right at the top, you got to believe.
Yep.
And then if you get a rookie that you draft in round 2 or 3 as a slot guy, he's in that top 4. I mean,
right.
That's
very, very young.
That is a young, young group.
Again, on the Greg Jennings thing, it's smart from his perspective to do due diligence as well. And I'm sure there's a part of him that wants to make sure, what are you doing in the draft?
Absolutely, right. I don't want to sign here and then have you go draft Philip Dorsett, and then what
right.
am I?
And exactly. He's at a point in his career, he's going to play. He's going to play for somebody. He's probably not going to be, you know, he's not going to be what he was 4 or 5 years ago. He wants to find the right spot as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, he's not, especially if he comes to a team like Jacksonville, he's not ring chasing in Jacksonville, right?
You're matching shirt.
You go to New England, you're ring chasing, all right? I mean, that doesn't mean the Jags can't eventually win a Super Bowl, but I don't think it's happening this year. Let's be frank. I don't think most free agents around the league think it's happening this year. You know, if you're a veteran like that, you know what I'm saying. If you're signing a short-term deal and that's your primary consideration, he's made a bunch of money. I think Greg Jennings right now is looking, A, who's interested in me, right? And there seem to be at least three teams that have shown some degree of interest. And B, how much am I going to play? How much, you know, he wants to play. I think he's still at the stage of his career where he's just not looking to come in and be a good locker room presence.
And you would think part of a situation, wants to go to a good situation, be a part of something that's enjoyable to be a part of. So that certainly, to listen to veterans, seems to be the reputation of Jacksonville right now.
Fan Feedback Spotlight, by the way, as you know, brought to you every day by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, asking Jaguar fans what drives you. And the family dealerships includes, of course, Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. You can visit tombush.com for more information when you're in the market for your next new or pre-owned vehicle, and follow them on Twitter as well, at Tom Bush Motors. Well, regardless of what all the speculation is from the scouts and the media pundits and what have you, in terms of Winston and Mariota, the Bucs are the only ones who really matter when
sure.
it's all said and done. So we'll find out.
And the reason the discussion continues is, look, the Bucs aren't doing anything to shut it down. I mean, they're not doing anything to say, yeah, there's no way we're not taking Jameis Winston because of the off-field stuff. In fact, the word that keeps coming out is that the ownership's going to have part of the last call on this decision, and are they going to be okay with the character of Jameis Winston? If the NFL wasn't still having this discussion, we probably wouldn't be either. But the teams are still having this discussion about Jameis, so the talk continues.
And guess what? When he gets drafted, the talk won't stop.
Right.
Right? There'll be unless he goes through a period of time where you don't have any off-the-field
right.
stories
about
I
think
him.
He's much more talented than Johnny Manziel, but it's kind of the same deal where there is a lot of, like, Johnny had the cash thing, and was he getting paid for autographs, and that was a serious moment for him. But it's a kid who likes to go party. He likes to go drink. He likes to go do all these things, and it's like, why didn't everyone leave Johnny alone and just see if he can play football? Well, it's a lot of the same discussion with Jameis. It's just the things Jameis doing are even less. They're higher on the level of immaturity than what Johnny Manziel was doing
although, what would you rather have? A guy who's got a drinking problem, apparently, and I'm going to say he had one because you don't go to rehab unless you think you have a problem, right? So do you want a guy who's got a drinking problem, or do you want a guy who's got
a
crab legs problem, right? I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that. Maybe they say, you know, drinking is more mainstream. We can get that under control, but I don't know.
Well,
a lot of people are not able to get that under control.
Yeah, you're going to more likely to land yourself in the suspension program of the NFL if you're doing the drinking thing, which
that's a good point.
Is what Johnny Manziel may be dealing with in the future. If I had the number one pick and I was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'd be taking Jameis Winston. In the end, that would be the pick that I would make if I were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Doesn't mean it doesn't merit discussion.
I'd have to make it
and hold your breath and
right.
close your eyes and say, let's go.
I'd have to sit down and get that. I'd have to get the warm fuzzies from sitting in the room. You know what I mean? I mean, because if you get that vibe, like, man, does he just not quite get it? I mean, is he saying all the right things? I'd have to really be in that room and feel and compelled that this guy has put this stuff behind him, because the second he does anything off the field that's not checking all the boxes, all the people who say I told you so are coming out of the woodwork, and rightfully so. I mean, that's the world we live in, right? So that's the way it goes. 2.5 weeks and all the speculation will be over, John.
It's gonna be a neat, I mean, again, in my position, I don't get a chance to watch the first round of the draft particularly, because once the Jaguars take, then I'm gone.
You're working.
Yeah. So my understanding was a very compelling draft last year because Johnny Football was involved in the first round. I think this year is going to be really fascinating as well because of all these storylines. I mean, it's really hard to get a grip. I still think James is going number one. Past that, it's going to be a fascinating draft to watch in the first 10, 15.
Right. Picks. I mean, as soon as pick two comes up, unless they rush that card up there and it's Leonard Williams or Mark, I mean, in that 10-minute window, trade in the works, what's going on,
right.
All the speculation. All that to look forward to coming up. All right, that does it for us today. Wild West, Guns and Gold Monday. What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com?
A lot of draft talk. My understanding is we're going to have Josh Norris on Jaguars.com Live on Wednesday to talk about that mock draft. And it's getting to the point where it's all draft all the time, and we'll be starting to look ahead a little bit to the off-season program beginning next week.
Getting to the point, Tony. Getting to the point, he says. Come on. All right, that does it for us. For John Osier, for Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato, for Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime coming up next. This has been Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.